60 going about is what does the Bible say about marriage? I'm a little old, talk about three things, and then I will be out of your way. The first thing I want to talk about is what does the Bible say about marriage? I'm a little old school. I haven't used the phone that much, but I still use the book. And I need to know what's in the book. What does God have to say? The second thing I want to touch on is last week the pastor put a heavy emphasis on two becoming one. So I want to sort of connect this lesson with his lesson so that there's a fluidity with the training or the teaching. And lastly, you know how you get information, but you sort of struggle in the application of the information? Now that I've got all this good information, how do I apply it? How do I use it in my life? So the goal is two becoming one. So how, it sounds good. How does two become one? So I just want to leave you with one little nugget and tell you that it's through good communication that the two become one. All right? Okay. Where do we start? Can anybody see that? All right. True marriage according to God's standards. The best place to start is what we call the standard or what we call the authority. You with me? In other words, growing up with Nene and Pookie and Ray Ray, and they aren't really the authorities on a godly marriage. You with me? Our authority has to come from the Holy Word, God's Word. So when we know the source of our authority, that way as husband and wife, we're going to the same source and we are on the same page about what thus saith the Lord. Now, I love this scripture here. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. It says that all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, it's useful for teaching. In other words, God's word will show you what is right. It is useful for rebuking. Some translations say reproving. God's word will show you when you're not. It is useful for correcting, meaning God's word will show you how to get right. It is useful for training in righteousness, and some translations say for instructions in righteousness. Bottom line is God's word will show you how to stay right. That's why the word is the authority. The word is the standard that we live by, and it's the word that we go to. So a godly marriage, we want to know what God has to say about marriage. Now, I'm looking around, I'm trying to get a group, a feel for the age group that's in the audience, right? Because I don't want to leave nobody out. Now, some of us grew up watching Ozzie and Harriet. I'm on your street? Yeah. Leave It to Beaver, that was the marriage or the family or the model, right? Some of us watched or were blessed to have black people as the model, which was Cliff and Claire, the Huxtables. You with me? Now, I don't know how young you are, or if you're into hip-hop or whatever, but there's another couple for that generation, and that's the couple that shows you how to stack and make that paper. That's Jay-Z and Beyonce. That's another. Some of us would call it a merger of a corporation. But I wouldn't really consider those all a Christian marriage. Like, I want to know, what did God intend marriage to be? And what is God's purpose of a marriage? And what that requires, it requires me to put two to side what I think a godly marriage is. In other words, I have to put aside all that I think that I know about marriage. And now I've got to be open to receive what God has to say about marriage. All right? Okay. Let's start at the origin, the beginning. You see that? These are the, I'll be covering pretty much the same scriptures we covered last week. The origin of marriage can be found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. I use the NIV just to stay consistent with the pastor. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. And can I share something with you? I've read that so many times, it's almost committed to memory. But each time I read it, something different stands out. Something different catches my attention. Here we go. Read one more time. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and increase in number and fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature. Let me just talk about this real quickly. All righty. Small technical difficulty. Here we go. Next screen. There we go. Praise the Lord. All right. In these two verses, what I wanted to just point out real quickly is God shares with us about the people, about provision, and about the purpose. About the people, God makes it plain. He says male and female in the image of God. So God makes it plain the people that are involved in the marriage, okay? God lets us know about his provisions, where we see God bless them. Did you see them in there? Did you see them in there? Y'all not asking me. Did you see them in there? Here's the reason why them is important. It's because when you talk about dominion, most people believe that's just for the male to have dominion. That's not what his word said. For them, male and female, to have dominion. Male and female to be blessed from the very beginning. And then we see the purpose, which is to be fruitful and to multiply. So the Christian marriage is a marriage that is different from the marriage of the world. The Christian marriage is a marriage that is governed by godly principles. So there are two godly people living out a godly illustration of life. Amen? All right. So, now we'll go backwards to verse 18, one of my favorite verses. I know that one by heart. See that? Now, I know I'm in a room full of Bible readers and Bible scholars. I know that. I can feel that. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, right? and you look at the creation, and you look at everything that God created, it said it was good. Anybody say amen? Anybody see that? Everything God created was good, right? God gets to verse 18 of chapter 1, 2. See if you're paying attention. And he puts the brakes on, and he goes, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, the man need to hear that. In a Christian marriage, the idea of being self-sufficient is not there. A Christian man in a Christian marriage is not self-sufficient. God knew long before we knew that it's not good for us to be alone. And he says, I will make a suitable helper. And the pastor talked about that very well last week, where he really dwelled on that word suitable. He says, I'm not going to make a likable, lovable, or desirable, but it has to be a suitable. And then it goes a little further after verse 18. Can y'all see that? He talks about, but for Adam, there was no suitable helper found. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and he closed him up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. He had taken the rib out of the man and had brought her to the man. The man said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united, and they become one flesh. Now, we talked about that in detail last week, but if you allow me to lift up something different out of it, is that okay? All right. So you see the picture, right? The visual illustration is the rib cage. So I want to talk about the rib for a minute, if I could. You with me? God does all things well. God does not make any mistakes. I actually should have put a whole body of bones up there just to illustrate my point, but God could have took a bone from the skull and made the woman, but he didn't. God could have took a bone from the feet to make the woman, but he didn't. And y'all probably saying, why? Y'all ask some good questions. See, if he took the bone from the skull, that would have meant the woman is the head. She's not the head. If he'd have took the bone from the foot, that would have meant that the woman is below the man. That's not true. But he took it from the side. That means that the woman is equal with the man. Now, let me see if I can quote my pastor. Now, get this new teacher. I like to have fun. So, listen to me. As people, we are equal. The way we function is different. You with me? As people, we're equal. God made us partners. We're equal, right? Now this rib, let me stick with this rib for a minute. You see where the rib cage is? Anybody in the medical profession? All right. But y'all probably know this. The rib cage is designed to do what? That's what I'm talking about. See, I'm in the right group. So, taking it from the rib of the man gives us what we're supposed to do as men, that we are supposed to protect our women. Now, watch this. Because as men, we have problems with emotions, I can say that. That there's a certain amount of caressing that takes place when she's close to your heart. Are you ready? God is laying it out. Can we go a step further? Can I go a step further? All right. I'm still with the rib. Now, a rib is like this, right? Anybody see that? They're what? They're curved. Ribs are curved. I'm speaking to the men, so y'all can say amen if you want to. But God made the woman. Now, I'm just sharing what I was taught. Share what I was taught. God made the woman with the curve. Y'all know they made it with curves, right? But the curve of this rib lets us know as men, it is not our job to straighten them out. I'm trying to tell you how to have a godly marriage. Ain't my job. My job is to love her unconditionally. That's in the book. So we see the importance of the rib. And it ends where it talks about the two becoming one. And Pastor did an outstanding job on that last week. And how do we become one flesh? That's really what I want to talk about before we get out of here. That picture says an awful lot. The older I get, I'm really not too much into words. It's really with pictures and the statements that they make. That picture is the answer. And it gives a whole lot more information about how we become one. Now, I'll give you a couple answers before we let you jump in. But what the first thing it tells us is that Jesus has to be involved if we go become one. It lets us know that Jesus has to be the foundation if we are to become one. What else does it tell you? I'll get you warmed up. When you see the cross, it tells you about joy. There's joy when we become one. I don't know how to explain it, but there's no feeling like it. In other words, and I know you've been around people like this, where you have mainly like a senior couple, and the husband will start a sentence, and the wife will finish the sentence. That's a joy of becoming one. There's also, when you look at that, right, it lets you know the strength that you're going to need in this process of becoming one. Because all the strength we need is at the cross. When you look at the cross, there's something else to tell you. It begins with an L, and there's two words, and the other word is with an S. And they talk about it in Galatians. It might even be a fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Buckle up. Buckle up. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. I tell you, it's worth it. Lastly, victory. When we've got God involved in our marriage, we have the victory. We have the victory. Amen? Amen. All right, let's move. We might be out here early. All right. The way to becoming one flesh starts with communication. What I love about the Bible is that the Bible has a lot to say about communications. We got Proverbs 18:21 that tells us about the power of the tongue. We got James chapter 2 that teaches us about taming the tongue. We got Colossians 4:6 that lets us know that our conversation with grace and also season it with salt. And then we have Ephesians 4, I believe it's 29 in that area, that let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. So the Bible basically gives us the principles of communication. And it's up to us to communicate in order to be able to be one and one flesh. Sure. Proverbs 18:21. James chapter 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, and Ephesians 4:29. Colossians 4, 6. Ephesians 4:29. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Now, the communication. No two people can effectively walk together, work together, live together, without good communications. Now, I want to give you Amos in its proper context, if that's all right. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Amos is not saying that you have to agree on everything. You with me? I'm using Amos tonight to basically point out, in order for you to agree, there has to be communication. You with me? So I'm uplifting communication out of that text of Amos. Because as husband and wife, we're not going to agree all the time. That's not the point. The point is that communication is taking place, has to take place. Now, God intended for marriage to be the closest of all the relationships apart from our relationship with Him. So my reflective question is, you know what I mean, reflective, right? That means you don't answer it. You just think about it, reflect on it. But my reflective question is your spouse your best friend? We talk about this communication. And all I'm trying to get to is, can two people become one flesh without a good communication system? And the answer is, that's what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, y'all a great group. Got to communicate. Now, good communication is a two-way street. It involves free and open conversation and careful attention, careful active listening. The goal is to have effective communication. You with me? Not service communication. You know, how was your day? Well, look at the weather. No, you gotta have effective communication. Now, simply, it's sending and receiving of a message. Now, I was trying to stick to the lesson, but help me, Holy Spirit. All right. I'll put y'all in it too. All of us, from the pulpit to the door, think we're excellent communicators. We are so far, right? For some reason, I don't know why you didn't understand what I just said. To me, it was so simple. So communication is a two-way responsibility. And what we have I'm talking about all of us again. That all right? Spirit is working. Yeah, all of us. All of us. I'm saying all of us. All of us are sensitive. I don't care how mean you look and how tough you. Words do. So a person can send it, and that may not be the way they sent it, but we receive it totally different from the way they sent it, and that creates a problem. Creates a problem. Matter of fact, I'll share it with you. I could do this. Eye-opening experience that I had a couple weeks ago. So I'm at this faculty meeting, and they're talking about all the new programs that are coming, two new programs. So I'm involved in the two new programs, which is a good thing that the direction that the school is heading, they have me in the plan, right? So I'm thinking that I would be able to teach a Bible and theology class. Now, my degree is in church ministry leadership, but I'm qualified for Bible and theology. So the director says, you can't teach Bible and theology. Yeah, right then and there, I got offended. But watch what he said. Watch what he said. He said, where we have you lined up, your degree more than satisfies. You ain't got to worry about nothing. We got you. The two programs, your degree will work. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I'm telling you. It wasn't until the Lord spoke to me in the middle of the night and said, you need to work on your perception. That is, I was all upset, ready to go get another degree. So now I qualify. You know what I mean? Don't tell me I don't qualify. Yeah. But it's all in what I heard. And that's why it's so important with communication. And it happens a lot in marriages. That's why good communication is a must. Poor listening skills really stifle good communication. It's actually the number one challenger is the listening skills. Now, Simon, I know you heard this, that we're given two ears and one mouth, meaning we should listen twice as much as we speak. And even with communication, and see, men, I'll talk more about men, I know men. Men will go silent on you quick. Quick. So watch this. They saying something. It's just not verbal. It's just not verbal. So I pray for all the married women. On TV they had this show. They were doing a study. And they did a doctor's waiting room. At first, they had all men in the waiting room. Nobody talking to nobody. They grab a magazine, read it, but there's no dialogue, there's no exchange. Then they do it with all women. Never met them before, don't know each other. Oh, I like your skirt. Oh, where'd you get your hair? They getting it in. It shows the different nature that we have as far as communication. So on a male's perspective, it does require more work. Somehow women just are able to just flow naturally with communication. But brothers, I encourage you to make the effort to have effective communication. All right? Here we go. Good listening. Good listening. It involves letting the other person speak without interruption. Now that was a challenge for me. I know it has to be a challenge for other people. Because usually when a person says something that's wrong, I want to address that right there and then. Not even give them a chance to finish. But I'm learning. Just be quiet. And you know, the interesting thing as far as being a Christian is a lot of our battles the Lord will take care of them. It's just a matter of stand still and watching the salvation of the Lord. So Proverbs says that it's 18:13 says that it is totally a folly and a shame to answer a matter before you hear it. Now, to have effective communication is really to give that person our total attention, undivided attention. And that gets challenging. Let's see if I can give you a scenario. Most men, I'll do it that way, I'll go general, is that okay? Most men, normally when their wife wants to talk is when the game's on. When the game on. Some will try to be courteous and talk, but they still, you ain't got their whole attention. So timing has a lot to do with effective communication. Now, there's a technique that they teach. It is called, they use the term debriefing. Do you know what I mean by that? That's where a husband and a wife will block out a certain time of day. And those two just sit down and they talk. And what you do is you define the boundary. We're not talking about the kids. We're not talking about bills. So you're able to talk and have meaningful and effective communication, okay? And that's always good to make sure that open line of communication exists. Letting each other know that they are the most important, more important than anything else. And that's really making sure, let me see if I can tell you a different way. You know how women will say something which they think is fine, but men perceive it differently? I'll give you an example. If you're on the phone and this wife tells the husband, we got to talk. The husband perceives it different, even if the talk is about a good subject. She didn't mean nothing by that. She just means we got to talk. So it's important that we make sure that we get to know our spouses, what they say and what they mean. You gotta make sure that you really understand what the other person is saying or thinking. And the best way to do that is simply just to repeat back what you just heard to make sure that you heard it correctly is the best way. And it actually works to make sure that you're able to clarify any misunderstandings before they arise. All right? Trying to see things from the other person's point of view will help your communication 1,000%. Really? Because a lot of times, and I know I'm not by myself, but the way I see it is really the way it's supposed to be. Now, consider another viewpoint. Why would I want to do that? But I found it to be beneficial. I really have. And it's good when you have the wife because that's your helpmate. And she gives you a different set of lenses on a situation, which is very important. And that's why for men it's really important to run more things by your wife and to value your wife's opinion is so important. All right? Okay. I'm at my last slide, I believe. There we go. So I put the two hearts up there. The two become one. Got that? Open and honest communication is essential. If we are really to become one flesh, we must open up and reveal ourselves to each other. Now, I'll stick with men. That's a challenge for us. It really is. It's a challenge for many reasons. One, we weren't really raised that way, that we talk about feelings and emotions, really on a deep level. And then there is the, I guess you could say, the image for the man. And because we weren't really raised that way, we don't really have enough practice tapping into our feelings and emotions. And then we have a mistruth that if I open up to you and expose my feelings and emotions, you'll think that I'm less than a man. So there's a whole lot of misinformation that we've gotten over the years. Now, the Bible isn't telling us to open our hearts to everybody. It's talking about our partner, the one we should be able to talk to about anything, anything, regardless of how we feel. So we got to reveal ourselves, because so many times, you know, during the dating, you're really sending your representative, right? You get married, the representative's still around. Somewhere after the honeymoon's over, some of the real you start to show up. So you really want to get into that habit of talking and getting to know each other, okay? You cannot know your mate unless there is open and honest communication with one another. The other area it gets challenging for men is because you are asking me to expose one of my weaknesses or insecurities. And that's hard. That is hard. So ladies, be gentle with us. Know what you're dealing with. Eventually, we'll get to where you need us to be. But just understand our challenge. Men, I want to encourage you, do the best that you can. There's such a freedom in just being free to expose who you are. And we use a little phrase, we call it living free in the here and the now. By that, it means that as men, we have done the work on ourselves, that we've left a lot of the wreckage of our past, the baggage of our past. Therefore, we're free to talk about almost anything. That requires us doing work on ourselves. Lastly, we must open up our hearts and relate to each other on a deep level if the two are going to become one. On a deep level. Now, I want to close by saying a few words. Be careful. Careful. I'm serious. Be careful. Because all of us are sensitive. And what's the right time for me may not be a right time for you. But be careful and be mindful that you don't break down communications. Whatever you do, don't stop talking to each other. Don't stop talking. Let me leave you with these three helpful tools. The first thing you ought to do with communicating is you ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit and telling God, this is new for me. Lead me, guide me. Have me to say what you want me to say. Always pray before the conversation. And pray during the conversation. Always have God in the midst and in the middle. And you really want to listen and hear what God wants you to talk about. Not self, but it's always what is that God wants, not what I want. Because in looking at that cross with the two rings, there's a crucifixion of self that takes place. I crucify myself, and my wife crucifies herself. And it is in that way the two become one. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any questions? Okay. Yes, sir. All right. Does anybody want to answer this question first? I can handle it. I mean, but I like how he opened it up. All right. As the male, I am commanded by God to love this woman unconditionally. Right? When you look through Ephesians and it talks about the women, and the man, and the family, and the child. God never has to command a woman to love me. But he's got to command me to love the woman. Because, and I'm just talking about me, God knows I'll get stubborn, I'll shut down, and I won't want to play anymore, childish. But because God has commanded me to always show that love in spite of, which is hard. Because what it does is it takes me from being the one who determines who deserves love. I don't determine that. I am commanded to do that. By me, it is hard. And when I obey the command, women don't take this the wrong way. A woman is a receptor. In other words, whatever is giving out to her is what she's going to give back. So, as the male, and this is also Psalm 128, I'm really responsible for the climate in the house. I'm really responsible. So, when we argue, right, it's not really an argument. It's a disagreement. So I look at her viewpoint, I look at my viewpoint, and what we always do is we always try to invite God in it. What does God say about it? And from a male's perspective, when I pray, my prayer is, God, don't let me be smart. Don't let me be sarcastic. You understand what I'm saying? I'm calling on God. Listen, I need you. So, sure there'll be uneasiness, but it won't last long because, again, we're still in the book where we can't let the sun go down on anger. So we're not going to bed until we pray. So it's really keeping God in there. Now, I gave you a general answer, but sometimes there's situations, there's underlying situations to the situation, probably the best way I could explain it, that it don't just get to that point. So as men, we have to keep, I don't want to say finger on the pulse, but I do everything I can do to keep her from exploding. I'm serious. Everything. You all right? Then? So, and as men, there's things that we have to do. We got to do the flowers just because. I'm going to tell this story about me. It's a good one. I would send so many flowers to her on the job that all the nurses would ask me to do a course with their husband. but all I'm saying is there are things that we have to do as men. So, and then that alleviates a lot of argument, because when we do those things, right, we used to call this the love bank. So I'm making deposits. Really, I'm an accountant. I'm making deposits. So if there's a situation where I may need some grace, some favor, so, but you kind of get the idea. But we can talk more one-on-one, though, about that. But we got to do the work. Any other questions? Not at all. Wow, y'all made me work tonight. All right, all right. Praise God. Let's give God some praise and glory. Now, we never want to, yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. Amen, 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 amen. That was, no, this is a very good point. Yeah, because in communication with husband and wife, sometimes you have something from the past that'll come up. And that's where the forgiveness will come in, all right? Okay, all right, let's shift the gear. The sun is still out. I want to enjoy it. We never want to assume that everybody among us is saved. And we want to give a person the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. You may wonder, why are we so excited about being in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night where there's so many other things that we can do? But there's something about the God that is inside of me that just orders my steps. You may wonder, why are we crying and happy and singing at the same time? You may even be wondering why some will run when there's nobody even chasing them. There's something about the joy of Jesus. And if you do not know the Jesus Christ that we know, we want to extend that opportunity to you. Is there one that want to know the Lord as their Savior? Is there one? We also want to extend to you, you may have a church home, but you may not be comfortable there. We're not a perfect church, but we got room for one more. So if you want to hang out with us and be under what we would, in the old days, we call it the Ark of Safety, we welcome you to the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Is there one? Lastly, you know, salvation is about position. And once you're saved, you're always saved. So you're eternally secure. But every now and then, one of us may want to just stick our toe back in because it looked like they having fun. You know, truth be told, look like they having fun. So we find ourselves in a backslidden condition, meaning that your condition has nothing to do with your position. But if you want to be restored from that condition, we'd love to have prayer with you. Lift your name up to the Lord. Is there anyone that's in a backslidden condition and want to be restored? Amen. Praise God, a saved household. Amen. All right, all right. Lastly, we asked the trustees if they would move expeditiously. And as they move expeditiously, we ask that you, if you can, and if you have it, if you would put a seed in your hand. And it's so important about this particular seed is it goes to the kingdom. So you're planting in fertile ground. And there's one thing that I know about God is that we cannot be God-giving no matter how hard we try. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for being with us this evening. We thank you for just letting us know a little bit more on how the two can become one. And we thank you, Lord, for just encouraging us about the work and the victory and the reward. And we thank you for our spouses, God. We thank you for how blessed we are here at the Church of the Redeemer. God, we give to you, and we pray, God, that you would give back and just bless us in a mighty way. And all of God's people said amen.